This week on the Silver and Black Show, Jim Plunkett and I get you ready for the Raiders' home opener against the Atlanta Falcons. The homecoming king, Jalen Richard, stops by. And Chris Townsend goes one-on-one with head coach Jack Del Rio to talk about that bold move down in the bayou. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show, starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
Kyle looks left, throws, caught, Seth Roberts diving for the end zone, touchdown, Raiders! Kyle, out of the shotgun, looks left, throws a lob for Michael Crabtree, caught it, he caught it, he caught it, the Raiders have the lead, 35-34, sweet revenge for Michael Crabtree.
At the end of the day, you have to go with what you believe is right for your football team. And, you know, I believed that we would come back and win that game. And I believed that going for it was the right thing to do.
What a way to start the season. I'm your host, Nicole Zalumis, alongside two-time Super Bowl champion Jim Plunkett. And, Jim, you're on the road. You're in a hostile environment. Under a minute left, you score. And then you can tie it up, play it conservative, but not Jack Del Rio, not this Raiders team. They go for two. What were you thinking when he made that call?
Well, I don't think there's a question. They had momentum going for them. They had to put away the New Orleans Saints, and they were afraid if Drew Brees got an opportunity to come back and in overtime and move the ball the way he had been in those first three quarters, I think that was the smart decision. It was a gutsy decision, and as you look back on it, I think it was the best decision.
Yeah, had a lot of Raiders fans nervous, but now they're just elated as we are undefeated in this young season. It's time now to get to our headlines as we do every week, and we start with our first true grit. Coach Del Rio speaks a lot about grit, having the mental toughness to compete for a full 60 minutes. This wasn't more evident than the fourth quarter of last week's game. The Raiders erased an 11-point deficit in the quarter, outscored the Saints 22-10. The last road victory, where the Raiders trailed by 14 or more points, the 2000 season in Indianapolis. Jim, what was your biggest takeaway from game one of the season?
Well, I thought they showed a tremendous amount of grit, resolve, heart, you name it, they showed it. Especially in that first half when they had so many penalties, kept dragging them back, and New Orleans was moving the ball up and down the field. And, you know, they just stuck to their game plan. They fought hard. They never gave up, and it got them back in the ball game. And that's what, their character is what stood out to me.
Our next headline here, next man up. Mike Tice showed why he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. The Raiders lost Menelik Watson in the second quarter, then Matt McCants early in the third. And it's up to Coach Tice to do a little improvising. He moved KO out to left tackle, kicked Donald Penn over to right tackle, and brought in second-year guard John Feliciano to play left guard, and they didn't skip a beat. How impressed were you with their flexibility and able to adapt?
Well, I think that shows a lot of depth on this football team, something that the Raiders have not had in a long time. If they lose a starter, it was really hard to replace that quality player with just one guy, much less two people on the offensive line. And the way they did it, they did it through the draft. They did it through free agency. They brought in the people that were ready to play if somebody went down. And these guys, took a stand, went in there, and showed that they could do it if they had to.
Jim, we look at our final headline, and we take a look at this week. Rise up. It won't get any easier this week for the Raiders secondary, as Matt Ryan brings with him one of the best receivers in the league in Julio Jones. The Raiders struggled to slow down Drew Brees last Sunday as he rattled off 423 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. What does the Raiders' defense need to do this week to rebound against the Falcons?
Well, I think it's just like I said for the first game of the season. You got to put pressure on the quarterback. They weren't able to do that. He had a monster game. Fortunately, just not enough. And they're going to do the same thing with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. They've got to lock him up. But I say put pressure on the quarterback. Make him throw when he doesn't want to throw. Hurry up his throws. Get after him. Knock him down. Khalil Mack had a tough time. There's no question about it in New Orleans. But, he's going to bounce back and put some pressure on that quarterback. And I think that's what you have to do in order to, help slow that offense down.
Well, one player who had a monster play, 75-yard touchdown run, he's going to join us next. That's Jalen Richard coming up on the Silver and Black Show.
Jalen Richard straight ahead, back pedals the hole, breaks free, 40, he may go, he's gone. One guy can catch him, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Raiders! Jalen Richard goes 75 yards!
Well, if you didn't know Jalen Richard's name at the start of the season, you definitely do now. First carry of your NFL career, not too shabby, 75-yarder. How did it feel? Is this what you envisioned, what you dreamed of?
I couldn't think of a better way to, you know, begin my career. It's pretty crazy feeling. I'm just very blessed to, you know, have the opportunity to, you know, do that. It'll be a day I'll forever remember and a day I won't forget. But I definitely couldn't have, drawn it up in the sand, man. It was, a pretty wild journey for me. And, you know, to do that in my home state, it felt real good.
It's an awesome start to the season. You're an undrafted free agent, and so that's been a long road for you. What is it like when every play counts, just your journey to get to where you are right now?
Yeah, I definitely take it with, you know, no pressure, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm doing something that a lot of people think I wouldn't do. So it's definitely, I don't think I have a lot of added pressure, but at the same time, I knew coming in that I would have to be seen. I would have to really, you know, grind and do everything I can to, you know, make the most out of every opportunity. And I've just been blessed to be able to do that. And, you know, the Raider organization and coaches took, you know, heed to that. And, you know, that's why I'm still here.
You suffered a knee injury before preseason. What was that like, knowing that you wanted to get out on the field and show them what you had, but you couldn't, your body was limiting you?
Yeah, I've been through that before. I've been through different adversities. I actually missed my whole senior season of high school football when I tore my ACL in the summer coming up to my senior year. I had to sit out, and then, was blessed to still have scholarship offers on the table. Then I chose to go to Southern Miss. I had a couple injuries in college that, might have you down and, you know, sitting in the dark. But, you know, I always found a way to find the positives out of it, sit back, reflect, and definitely focus on coming back stronger.
What was the support like from your teammates during that time, especially in the running back room, because you guys seem like such a tight-knit group?
Yeah, it was a great, you know, support system from the running backs and from everybody on the team. Definitely Derek, because, you know, even, you know, being as positive as I am, you know, sometimes you do get down. You're like, man, you know, I was doing so good. You know, is this going to affect anything? You know, like we both know that, you know, I came in as a trial guy and, you know, I'm trying to make the team. So are these missed reps going to affect anything? And, you know, all those things were going through my mind. But the added support from the coaching staff, the training staff, you know, Derek Carr, Lee Smith, who's like a big brother to me, and again, the running back room, you know, I was able to calm down, focusing on getting back, and just knowing that, you know, when I did get back, still take advantage of every opportunity, and that's what I did.
Well, you took advantage of it in New Orleans, and the answer is it didn't slow you down in watching that last game. So we get to some fun here, 5 questions. Your biggest aha moment, when the light bulb turned on that you had realized your dream of being an NFL player?
I think it was my big aha moment when I walked out onto the field and I actually, was pregame and I was listening to some Louisiana music, and one of the security guards asked me, he was like, why you listen to Louisiana, you know, some music? And I was like, I'm from Louisiana. He was like, oh, really? And we just get to talk, and I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm in the league, man. You know, I'm right here. I'm back in my home state. That's when it hit me, like, man, I'm back in Louisiana playing, you know, doing my dream. And I'm just sitting there looking at the new big jumbotrons that, you know, are in the New Orleans Stadium. I'm like, man, I'm here. But, you know, I could only have my eyes big for so long. And I knew I had to focus down in and get ready for the game. So,
favorite athlete?
My favorite athlete growing up was, I liked Emmitt Smith. My dad was a big Cowboy fan, so Emmitt Smith was one of my favorite athletes growing up.
So you talk about growing up in Louisiana, listening to Louisiana music. What's the best thing about now living in California?
I love the weather, man. It's no mosquitoes. It's no humid weather. I mean, it's real cool every day. Like in Louisiana, it's just hot. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you can just literally sit on the porch for 5 minutes and you're going to break out in the sweat and you got to worry about mosquitoes and gnats. Like, there's none of that out here. So that's what I enjoy.
Be careful. It's about to get really cold out here and rainy, which I like. It's okay. So if they were to make a movie about your life, choose one superstar that would play you, one actor.
One actor. I would say Denzel, but
you're
going
to go old school, not new school?
Maybe Denzel or maybe Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
He does a real good job. Out of those two guys, I think it would be kind of hard to get Denzel to look as young as me. You know? But I think he'll do a good job.
Congratulations on your first big win, a huge play for you, 75 yards. We can't wait to see what the season holds. And thanks for coming on the Silver and Black Show.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Last year we learned how to compete.
Yeah. This year, we know how to win. Man, that was so gritty. Man, that was so good. You hung in there. A lot of things are going to go better for us this year. But guess what? What's it all about? Just win, baby. That's what it's about.
Every resurgence has a turning point. It might be too early to call the conversion that for the Oakland Raiders, but the decision Jack Del Rio made stretches far beyond this team. Chris Townsend sits down with the man behind the call that the entire NFL is buzzing about.
Thank you, Nicole. Hey, Coach, I got to tell you, unbelievable. What a game that was for Raider fans. I was with a bunch of Raider fans from the radio side, and when you called the two-point conversion, you made it, and then, of course, winning the game. What was the feeling like? You get off to a 1-0 start, but what a finish, what a game.
It was pure elation. I mean, to have that, you know, go down the way it did, the whole fourth quarter telling our guys, hey, I believe we're going to win this thing, man. Stay in it, keep fighting. And then to tell Derek before that drive, hey, by the way, we're going to go for two here. And he's super poised all the way, really proud of really the effort throughout the organization.
Take me through the thought process, because that was the buzz of the NFL week one, you going for two on the road and getting it done.
It really, you know, I don't want to bore everybody with all the details of it. I know people really want to know. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, I realize as the head coach that what's most important for me is not to have people agree with me. It's to do what I think in my heart is best for the football team and then have the courage to do that. And that's all it was. I wanted to believe and trust in our guys. We did that, and they came through.
Oh, you talk about courage. And I think listening to you after the game in the locker room, but just tell me, what was that like? Because you put it in your players' hands. You showed the trust in your players.
Right.
They came through. There's a special bonding moment between you and the players after the game. What was that like for you?
Well, it was that, but it's a continuation. I mean, this is not something that happens overnight. We've been developing the chemistry and the bond and the trust. When I got here, I talked about this is a players' league. We're going to be as good as the players make it here, and I'm going to provide a direction and a vision, but the players have to embrace it and make it their own.
And I think about the running game for you going for 167 yards. We talked last week about being physical. I know you had to like that.
That's the run game we're talking about, okay? So, yeah, that was really good to see. I think, you know, you saw right away, man, Kelechi destroying some people. So there's no question about his impact right away.
And then you had to mix and match with so many guys. Menelik Watson goes out, then McCants comes in, and he goes out. Now Penn's going to the right side for the first time in his career. Mike Tice, talk about the job he did and how you had to move so many guys around.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think, you know, Mike deserves a ton of credit for having a plan and the guys for executing the plan. But I think the biggest thing is the poise on the sideline. Mike just very calmly say, this is what we're going to do. All right, and they went out and got it done.
And I know you've addressed penalties. You're not happy with the penalties, and you've said this is not who you guys are, and I know that's something you're going to clean up.
Well, it's not who we are. So we're a disciplined football team that competes really hard. And I think as people get the idea and start to understand, that's who the Raiders are. We're a disciplined football team. We're smart. We're tough, and we play hard. We're going to compete. Some of those judgment calls, it's a tough deal for the officials. They do a good job, all right? They're in a tough situation. I believe over time they're going to realize, hey, these guys are disciplined, these guys are tough, and they are competing, and those flags are going to disappear.
Well, the home opener is always special. You grew up a Raider fan, you know. What do you think it's going to be like at the Coliseum on Sunday against the Falcons?
The O's going to be rocking. It's going to be awesome. Coliseum, our fans, I mean, they traveled unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people were there. Really were loud and even took over Bourbon Street at times. I mean, it was almost like a respectful, you know, the Saints fans were like so blown away. It was like almost a common respect for each other. But I know here at our place, we'll be rocking this stadium.
How big will 2-0 be for your team?
When we earn it, it's going to be outstanding, and that's what we're going to have.
Yeah, because it's been a long time since this team has been 2-0, and we talk about the expectations. And I love how you don't shy from the expectations.
No, and that's all talk, really, you know, Chris. I mean, the biggest thing for us is to go out, prepare our butts off, go out there and compete like a group of men that knows what it's doing, that's on a mission. Go out there and take care of business.
And I do have to bring it up. Your son had another good game against Kentucky. Those Gators, the Gators seem pretty tough.
Well, you know what? He's doing a great job of getting the weekend started right.
Yeah.
And then we have to follow through and do our part. Proud of him. I mean, when your boy goes for 300-plus and four touchdowns, that's a pretty good day.
No doubt about it. Coach, thank you so much. Good luck on Sunday against the Falcons.
Thanks, Chris.
Hello again, class. Lincoln Kennedy here with this week's edition of Chalk Talk, brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. The Falcons are coming to town, and with them come a big, tall receiver who's pretty darn good by the name of Julio Jones, number 11. What's impressed me about this team is how creative they find ways to get him, one of their most dangerous receivers, the ball. Let's start with play number one. As we watch this play develop, it's just a simple screen. Get a couple receivers out in front of him blocking on space and allow your dangerous receiver to do his damage. It's not for big yards, but it usually softens up the defense and gets the ball in your playmaker's hands. And play number two, a lot of teams around the league are running the pick routes. Julio's at the bottom of the screen. And what's going to end up happening? This receiver is going to come, pick the man. Julio's just going to run a simple drag underneath. It could be a big play and potentially dangerous if your defense isn't sound. As you watch the play develop, watch the slot receiver just run and get in the man's way. Julio Jones comes under him. He's wide open. Matt Ryan decides to go somewhere else. But if you come back and look at the slides on the sideline, you could tell how that could be a big play. So the question becomes, what do you do against such a dangerous receiver? Well, you got to be physical. In this illustration, we're going to watch Josh Norman, who's here, Carolina's best corner a year ago, be extremely physical with Julio. Julio wants to run a simple slant. And the way this times up is that Matt Ryan, on his fifth step, is going to be ready to get rid of the ball in a slant. Now watch how physical Josh Norman is with Julio. Right now, Josh Norman knows he's got him one-on-one, no help inside, so he has to be extremely physical and hands-on. But by him playing Julio this way, he disrupts the timing between Julio and Matt Ryan and the chemistry to get that ball downfield. So in closing, class, we want our secondary to be stellar against the Falcons. We want to negate Julio Jones, want to be physical with him with our big corners. More importantly, we want our safeties to be sound. If you do that, I think we got a good chance of beating the Birds here at home. That's it for Chalk Talk, brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. I'm Professor Kennedy. See you next week.
Across the board, to me, it's good defense. They're talented. Get after the passer really well. Irvin and Mack, I mean, those are two guys that are edge rushers that do a great job. You know, they're pretty balanced across the board. I mean, they got good players all over.
He's more mobile than you would think, and he's able to pull it down and not just run for first downs, but create on the move. I guess that's the part of the thing that totally jumps out. Third downs that get converted to first downs within the two-minute situation, you see him on the move. But they have some featured guys, both that receiver and that tight end, that are matchups for sure. Very big offensive line that tries to move the pile for sure.
The Raiders get set to welcome the Falcons, who are going to be hungry for their first win of the season. They lost to the Buccaneers 31-24. So you look at this Raiders team coming off such a big win. How do you keep the momentum in your home opener?
You know, it's very difficult. You know, you got to talk it up at practice. You got to get ready. But you got to forget about last week as well. You know, that was one game. This is a different game coming up, and you got to focus on the Falcons and what they do best. And obviously you're going to see a lot of what the New Orleans Saints did against the Raiders, probably from the Falcons, because, you know, we're a copycat league and they like to do things that are successful, and they'll bring that to town, and they're going to keep doing it until you stop it. And hopefully the Raiders will be prepared to stop the plays that hurt them last week.
Like you said, why don't we focus on that? Because Matt Ryan, 334 yards, two touchdowns. Julio Jones is going to be licking his chops at what he saw from the Saints. So the Raiders secondary, what are they preparing for in facing Julio Jones, one of the best at his position?
Well, you know, I think they have to cover a little bit better. I think they gave up too much ground just watching them play last week against Drew Brees and their receiving core. But I think they've got to cover tighter. They've got to be more confident in what they're doing out there. And I'm sure they're going to look at the film and study these Falcons coming in and what they did last week. And I think they'll be more prepared mentally.
All right, it's time now for Plunkett's Pick of the Week. This is an area of focus for each game, the key to the win.
I still think it's getting after the quarterback. They weren't able to do it last week, and it hurt them immensely. So, you know, the focus is going to be getting after the quarterback. And as I mentioned, Khalil Mack and those defensive linemen, I think, are going to be more primed to go after Matt Ryan than they were a week ago. They had trouble getting to him, and it's you know, it's understandable, but now's the time to do it.
Jim, the last time we were at the Coliseum, it was a preseason game, but it felt like a regular season when it came to the fan support. How important is it to get the fans in this one early?
Well, I think it's extremely important. The fans, you know, they're the 12th man, as they are in most stadiums, and the Raider fans are exceptional. They'll go after the opposing team, and you can just feel that. You can sense it when you're out there on the field that that your fans are behind you all the way. And it would be nice to get off to a good start against the Falcons coming into town. But if you don't, you can't let that get away from you. You still got to focus on what you have to do out there on the football field. But fan support is extremely important, especially here at the Coliseum.
We talked to Jalen Richard earlier in the show about walking on that field, taking in surroundings. So when you walk onto your home field, what's that like for you as a player?
I get you all pumped up. You know, your heart starts beating. You're ready to go. It's almost unexplainable how you feel inside. But you're fired up. You're ready to take that field, and you're ready to go win a football game.
All right, Jim, thank you very much. On behalf of Jim Plunkett, Jack Del Rio, Jalen Richard, and Chris Townsend, we'll see you all next week as the Raiders hit the road to take on the Tennessee Titans. Thanks for watching the Silver and Black Show, and go Raiders.